Good morning. The Bible reading for today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 11. The Ministry of Reconciliation. Since then, we know that it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us to the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he was committed to us and the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness, the righteousness of God. Here ends the reading.
I'd like to invite the kids to come down, if you would. And Scott, thank you for volunteering. Henry, thank you for volunteering. See, I'm picking on two of you. Good. Grab that chair, Henry. All right. I'm going to tell you a story. Scott, for you guys, represents Jesus today. Okay, here's Jesus. And here's Henry. You can just say, you leave it right there. It's good. Perfect. Just set it down. Come on over here now. Here's Henry. Ta-da! And the way God always wanted it to be is like this. Arms around him. Close. Good. Now you get split. However, when Henry was born, he was born a sinner. Grab a chair. Put that between you and the Lord. And there was a separation that took place. Not only that, he liked his sin. So he went over there, grabbed the podium, dragged the podium over here just a few feet, and he shoved Christ to the other side of it. Now there was even more separation. When he got a little older, his sins got even worse. So he decided he was going to do some more of that, grab another chair, push him back farther out of your life. And he pushed God farther out of his life. Now, here he is living as a high school kid. And who's way over there?
Jesus.
Yeah. Where is he supposed to be?
With Jesus.
With the Lord, right. And so here's what I want you to understand. Here's what God did. Here's what Jesus did, okay? He went in there, he shoved the chair out of his way, and he gently reached around and shoved the podium out of his way. There you go. And he pushed the chair out of his way, and he made a perfectly clear path so that he could come right to him. And so he put out his arms. And he tried to reach in and hug him. But this is where I want to stop. This is a really important step right now. You see, what he did is he tore every barrier down. You see that? All those walls, all those barriers, he tore them apart so that he could come and do what for him again? Hug on him, save him, tell him he's loved him. And so right now, what he decides to do becomes really important, because sometimes we love our chairs, our barriers, more than we love the Lord. And so here's the work of the Lord. God is in Christ reconciling, trying to hug every single one of us. And that's what I want you to remember in the sermon today. You see this? Is there anything separating them now?
No.
Nope. Is there any wall in between them?
Nope.
Any chairs?
Nope.
It's clear, isn't it? That's what I want you to remember. We're learning a big word today. Reconciliation. You guys get a treat. Well done. See, it's worth something, eh? There you go. Have one. Good for you. That's the word we're going to learn in sermon today. Reconciliation. Where God tears all the barriers between us and him down. Boom. Shoves them aside. Moves them. And that's what he does, okay? I want you to listen for that in the sermon, all right? Would you like a little treat if you want one? Okay, come and get one. They're all the same today. They're all the same. Just grab one. Yeah, there you go.
I can't have that, Christy.
There you go. Well, she can take one for Dad or something. At least give her one, or come back later, honey. Take one for Mama, too. Take one for Mommy, too. There we go. Look at them come. Yeah. Wait, you didn't take one for your sister? Oh, Daddy got one. Okay. That's a different sermon illustration. We'll use that one day. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, Lamb of God, I come, I come. The message and ministry of reconciliation. You have to understand, it's a message and a ministry. There is nothing separating us from the love of God. The ministry is one where I go, I saw this. I know what that means. What does it mean? It means that God was in Christ tearing every barrier down, so there's absolutely nothing from every person I know, everyone I meet, from receiving and knowing and having everything God wants for them. The love of God is wanting to reach around and grab hold of them right now. And if I would have illustrated it, although I didn't want to make it any more complicated, the only thing left is this hand that resists the love of God. This kind of stubbornness where if I could have told, you know, Henry, just put your hand up and just don't let him get any closer. He's broken every barrier down. And that point ultimately is this gift of reconciliation, and the hug of God is trying to reach into your life and your circumstance. There is nothing separating you from the love of God. There is no sin separating you from the love of God. There is nothing that is doing that. You have been reconciled. The power of that thought and that understanding is so important, because otherwise you live under law, you live under judgment, you live under condemnation. And so this call isn't just for you to understand it, but the call, more importantly, is to live it out for people. To recognize, this is my call now. To say, you have to understand, there is nothing separating you from the love of God. There is nothing that keeps God from loving you. There's nothing you have to change. There's nothing you have to be different about. Just receive the hug, the love of God. And if you understand it fully and completely, if I had said, Scott, wrap your arms around him, at that point, of wrapping his arms around you is when the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, works in that individual's life, and everything God wants that individual to begin doing, living, and expressing begin to take place. That's when he can begin to walk away from sin. That's when he can be set free. It's this concept and understanding of what reconciliation really means. There is nothing hindering, nothing separating in the path between me and God. In Christ, he has prepared this path. He shoved all the chairs, everything in between. Every wall has been broken down, and I, just as I am, I come. The simplicity of the words of the song, the author got it. He figured it out. I can't change my life. I can't be good. I can't want those things all the time. I can't be consistent. I have trouble even with repentance. Just as I am, I come. And God says, yes, I've broken every barrier down. You come. This is not clean up your act so I can tolerate being around you. This is not wash your armpits so you don't stink so much. This is you come. You bring your garbage, you bring your pain, you bring your suffering, you bring your aches, you bring your questions, you come. That's the invitation of the word reconciliation. And so when you grasp that, you begin to go, oh, God, you just want me? God, yes, but I got nothing. I want you. And what you do and don't have does not determine that my want for you. You understand? Every wall, every hindrance, everything that would have prevented God from loving me, all my sin, all of my inconsistencies, all of my wickedness, all of my pain, all of my disrespect, everything about me that you know and I know is wretched, that has been paid for in full by Christ. It's like he ripped those things away and said, Father, I won't let those be hindrances between you and Harmon. I'm going to put the two of you together and you're going to grab hold of this man because he needs to come just as he is. You see, that's the miracle of reconciliation. The miracle of reconciliation is all of those things have been laid upon Christ and he has carried them away. He has moved them away. He has broken down the wall. All of that is that concept of God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so you may picture yourself here, but now you need to picture your enemy. You need to picture the worst politician. You need to picture the worst neighbor. You need to, whatever you want to pick, put them right there and understand here's what God has done in Christ. He's pulled those barriers apart. And now this intimacy between God and man is available to each one of those people. Your ministry is not removing the barriers. Your ministry is telling people the story. Telling them, oh, I saw this children's sermon, and the ministry you have is a ministry of reconciliation. What does it mean? That you come just as you are. The songs we sing sometimes put it out there for us. Every once in a while, come just as you are, or just as I am, or whatever song comes to your mind as you start to think about it, you begin to recognize this is the work of reconciliation in Christ. And when he says the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His son did not empower God to love. His son was a manifestation of the love of God, and the love of God in the manifestation of Christ tore the barriers down. There will not be anything that will separate Bruce Harmon from the love of Jesus Christ. And I have 10 million chairs in front of me. All right? And God tore around every single one, and I put them back up in the middle of my day, week, or month, and he tears them down, and he says, there will not be anything. I will take and carry every one of those things. And so when you understand this ministry of reconciliation, you begin to recognize the power, particularly of the end of that section, when you're actually addressing it. God made him who knew no sin, verse 21, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Unbelievable. How in the world did all of your wretch and sin and all those chairs separating you from Christ, separating you from God, how did they get away? Well, I had nothing to do with it. It was a work of God, begun by his love, motivated from heaven to come down and accomplish what I could not accomplish myself. And he took every one of those things and he tore the power apart. He removed them so that in the intimacy I can put my arms up, even if I don't, God, I don't know how you can love me, just wrap his arms around you and say, my child, my child. And so that's that ministry of reconciliation. That's that idea when you're talking with someone or even being ministered to yourself and going through all the ups and downs and emotions of pain and difficulty and I'm having a bad day or a good day, you just go, oh, Jesus, I got nothing. I got nothing. Just wrap your arms around me. Bam! This is, yes, I'm putting my arms around you, child. There is nothing that separates you from my love. I will do this in your life and circumstances. And so now putting this all together, starting at the beginning, watch what happens. It says, remember we talked about the first part last week that talked about the fear. You know, understand what's going to happen to these people. If these people don't understand reconciliation, they'll be standing there with the love of God trying to reach in their world. Their hands, their hearts will be shoving and trying to put up new barriers. And Jesus will rip every one of those barriers down. It's nothing. But if they don't know, he says, that's where the fear steps in. So since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord, to be terrified of what that implies, of having your turn and miss out on what God has for you. We try to persuade men. I'm going to try and help you understand this. There is nothing you can bring to Jesus, ever. It's always just as you are. When you walk up to communion today, it's just as you are. You couldn't even confess every one of your sins. You can't even remember them. Your heart is so inconsistent, you can walk up here and be sidetracked or distracted or filled with who knows what between the time of the confession and the time you walk up in front of the altar. And you got to go, just as I am, with every one of these miserable inconsistencies, with everything that I'm dealing with in my life, Lord, I'm coming to your altar. And God goes, welcome home, child. Reconciliation. So watch what he does here next, verse 12. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again by giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride. But are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. And he goes here and he says, listen, I'm going to tell you reconciliation. I got nothing. You want to know my song, Just As I Am? You've broken every barrier down. That's my song. That's all I can sing. And Paul knew that. And he's saying, don't look at us and think that somehow we're trying to get some kind of pat on the back because we brought this concept to you. He simply is going, this is to help you understand when those people who don't get it, you now have this ministry. You have this ability to share the truth. There's nothing separating them from the love of God. Nothing at all doing that. And he goes on and he finishes this thought and he says, rather, if we are out of our mind, meaning if we're behaving like crazy people, it's for the sake of God. We're being obedient to God. God loves you. And you go, I was dealing with a friend, a student that I had years ago, and he was talking about another student that was really far away from the Lord right now. And he said, you know what that student wanted to do? And they're now grown men, they're adults in their 40s and stuff. And you go, they wanted to fight. Go ahead, tell me to love Jesus. Go ahead. And you know what this student I was talking to goes, you know what the Lord said to me? Just love him. He said, just love him. And he said, I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to have an argument or debate. Because you may win a particular point or lose. That's not ever it. I'm just going to love you. God loves you. And I know he went to the cross for your sins. And he said he could just watch that person have zero response to it. You know what he's sharing? The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry that in spite of the fact the student has gotten so cold and so angry he wants to fight with anybody and everybody who wants to tell him about Jesus, this student just said, God said love him. Why? Because that's the ministry of reconciliation. I won't even let your anger hold me from loving you the way I want to love you. And so he said, and I knew the moment I'd said that, and it was quite sincere, he said, there wasn't any arguments taking place. There wasn't any debates. He already had his arguments all set. He already had everything he wanted to say. He said none of those things were necessary. He already knew where I came from. He knew I loved the Lord. He'd been taught enough. I knew he knew them. And he had only tried to justify why it was okay to be walking away from the Lord. And he said, I wasn't going to do that. I simply spoke that ministry of reconciliation. He didn't call it that, but he spoke that ministry of reconciliation. Verse 14, Christ's love compels us. What does it mean? Haven't you ever sang and stood in a point just as I am? Haven't you been so washed out, so wiped out, so beaten down, so empty, so hollow, so useless, that all you had was just as I am? I got nothing for you today, Lord. It's just as I am. And God says, perfect, I'll take you. You go, how can you take me? I got nothing. That's when I want you. It's always what I felt toward you. I've always wanted you. You're always that precious to me. Why? Because Christ has broken every barrier down. There is absolutely no reason. He has paid in price all of the sin, everything. There's no reason why I can't let my love enfold you and hold on to you. And so he goes on, for Christ's love compels us. Why? We've tasted it. We've experienced it. We are convinced that one, Christ, died for all, and therefore everyone in Christ died with him. They all have this made available. And you got to keep saying all of us, not just all of us in the church, all of us and those, and all of us and those, and all of us and those, and the people in positions of power, which we may or may not like. All of us, the one died, and he died for all. Second condition, though, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. There is that point when the arms and the love of Christ has got to overpower that final step of resistance of your own stubborn heart. When it finally just wraps around you and you just go, I got nothing. Good. Boom. And that love collapses on you. And you start to understand, you felt this way about me even when I was openly rebellious and hated you. Yes. And you understood that I was born a sinner and I loved my sin. Yes. And you still felt this way about me. Yes. And that's what he's trying to help us. It compels us once you've tasted that yourself. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Stop looking at politicians for all the junk they do, which is my struggle sometimes, like yours. Says, I want you to see him. What do you see? Oh my goodness. You got your arms around the president, and you love him. I'm not sure he lets you love him, but you're right there, aren't you? Yes. And the governor, and the mayor, and you finish the name. You finish the individual. I can't look at anybody in a worldly way anymore. I can't just see him that way. Why? Because I have been understood, I have tasted just as I am. And the love of God enfolds me, has brought me to a different understanding that I have nothing like he and she and all those around me have nothing. And so I can never see it. Says on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though at one time we looked at Christ that way, just from this worldly perspective. Here's Jesus, you know, a Galilean, a carpenter, viewed him just as a worldling. That's all you could see. Here's Paul, and the other's just going, and we looked at him just like he was just a regular man, like he had nothing. And he said, but once God enlightened us, once we were empowered by the Spirit, we could never again, ever again look at Jesus the same way. In the same way, once God connects into your life with just as I am, once you taste reconciliation, you begin to understand how you can't look at anyone without it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Something brand new has come forth. This is a new beginning. The old is done with. It is past. It is gone. It has been ministered to. It has been conquered through the cross, through the shed blood of Jesus. It is past. And he speaks that so clearly. Therefore, he creates a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. What did he do? Look at Christ keeps breaking the barriers down. I put him up, he breaks them down. I put another one up, he breaks them down. God, I could never forgive any, breaks it down. I could never pray out loud, I breaks it down. What he's doing is exactly what he said he would do. Excuse me. Reconciled the world to himself in Christ. 19, not counting your sins. Your life is not God counting your sins and tallying them up. Reconciliation is God in Christ snatching and pulling these sins, ripping them away. This sin will not separate you from the Father. This sin will not separate. But I did this. I will not allow that to separate you from the Father's love. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It is that work that God has accomplished in Christ. So he goes on from there. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so, like a child watching the children's sermon, here's your uncle who has 102 reasons why he can't believe, 102 excuses why he can never believe, 102 bitternesses why God and him could never get together. And in your mind, you may not be able to quite say it that way, but in your mind, you have to see Christ grabbing hold and tearing them out and taking away the power of every single one of those things until there's this unbelievably clear path, and you look at your uncle and you say, Uncle Fred, this is, I don't know everything you've done wrong. I don't know all your sins, and I'm only 6, 7, 10, 12 years old. But I know this much, Uncle Fred. Jesus Christ is sitting there right next to you, wanting to put his arms around you and hold you and carry you and bring you tenderly into his love and his mercy and his grace and forgiveness. Nothing is separating you from that. You simply have to say you want it. You simply have to say you can't, you got nothing. Just if you're going to save me, Jesus, save me. But that step is what you have to see this bitter, angry, or whatever this individual is, or this hurting, beat-down individual. You just see Jesus. He just is reaching down. He's trying to pull, grab, lift that person up. And that's your ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It is the message of what God in Christ has done and is doing in an ongoing way for every man, woman, and child. That's why that student could look at me quite sincerely and he said, you know what God told me to do? Just tell him you love him and I love him. And he didn't know what to do with the love. He didn't know what to do with the love. And I go, that's where God's calling these people to. That's what the Corinthians were being called to understand. He said, these people, I want to save them. I want to bring them into this intimacy and this love. And he says, you are my ambassadors. You are my ministers. You are my servants. Tell them what reconciliation is so they understand nothing, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Nothing separates you from the mercy and the grace of God. Because in Christ, all of your sins are paid for at the cross. All of your bitterness, inconsistencies, everything that hinders you has been paid for. That path and the Christ of, you know, as you picture Scott in the power, he's just ready to grab hold and lift you right up. Or the person you're praying to. Please pray with me. Lord, call us to faithfulness. Call us to reconciliation. Call us to live under your ministry of reconciliation. Call us, Father, not to make it complicated, but simply see ourselves as that person who lets the world know by our own conviction, actions, and demonstration, as God has loved me, he also loves you. If God can save me, he can also save you. Help us to live that out in our lives, Heavenly Father. Help us to live it out in conviction. Help us to live it out in power and be your people in every situation. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. As the offering is received,